Thank you for listening to this Podcast One production. Available on Apple Podcasts and Podcast One.
Hear that? It's the call of the Crave. And when the Crave calls, you know what to do. Try the $5 Bacon Bundle, because the only thing better than a White Castle slider is a White Castle slider topped with crispy hickory smoked bacon. So pick any two of either the Bacon Cheese Slider, 1921 Bacon Cheese Slider, or Chicken Bacon Ranch Slider, and also get a small fry for just $5 with the $5 Bacon Bundle. White Castle. Follow your Crave.
This is a big year. The Ohio Lottery's golden anniversary. 50 years of excitement, of growing jackpots and crossed fingers. 50 years of funding for schools, of changed lives and brightened days. 50 years of fun, and that is worth celebrating. So watch for can't-miss promotions, huge events, and new games that will make the Ohio Lottery's 50th year its biggest one yet. Learn more at funturns50.com.
This episode of Your Welcome is brought to you for free today by our friends at betonline.ag. The fall is the perfect time to get in all the sports betting action. Not only are the NFL and college football rolling along, but also the World Series is just about here, and the NBA and NHL are just around the corner. Get in the mix at betonline.ag and use the promo code PODCAST1 for a 50% welcome bonus. BetOnline.ag, your online sportsbook experts and the exclusive partner of Podcast One Sportsnet.
He's defeated every champion from every organization the sport of mixed martial arts has ever seen, and retired from the octagon as the biggest draw and the industry's highest paid athlete of all time. And now, Chael Sonnen's on PodcastOne.com. And for that, you're welcome.
What's happening, guys? Happy Wednesday, and thank you for joining another special episode of Your Welcome. I sat down here today to tell you about Jeremy Stephens versus Urier. Okay, that's what I sat down here to do. I almost don't have anything to talk about. I don't know what to say. I told my partner, Ryan, I said, Ryan, you want me to talk about a fight that lasted 14 seconds? You want me to make it 5 minutes long? I'm up against it right now. Oh, and by the way, Ryan, the fight ended in a no contest, okay? Now, a no contest in the world of fighting would be equivalent to an annulment in the world of marriage. It is to be viewed by all as though it never happened. So you want me to give you 5 minutes on a match that lasted 14 seconds? Oh, and by the way, officially is to be recognized as an annulment that never happened. All right, great. It's not as hard, though, as some may think. Now, so much has been made about the fans that are throwing bottles, okay? I don't like that. I don't love it. I don't understand it. I've been in those arenas. I know how hard it is to get in front of the line at the concession, and then I know how expensive those beverages are. It's like when I go to the movies. All right, I don't leave the popcorn and pop behind. It was too big of an investment to start with. I'm not going to eat the popcorn later. It's stale. It's cold. But I'm not going to leave it in the movie theater because it cost me $12. Now, not for nothing, and why has no credit been given? The people that were throwing stuff were pretty good at throwing stuff, right? I mean, I watched that tape. They got their mark. It seemed like anybody in the arena, no matter where they were sitting, from the front row to the 80th row, could get said beverage into the octagon. Why is nobody breaking that down? These guys should be doing shot put in the Olympic Games. These guys should be drafted for Major League Baseball. I just see a guy from the 20th row throwing something and it hits a guy in the 14th row. They were hitting the octagon. They were hitting the announcers. They were hitting Jeremy Stephens. Oh, by the way, none of them hit your ear. I don't mean to make this funny. I'm being serious. The guys that were throwing stuff, they were good at throwing stuff. Then you have some kind of a clash that came out. If there was a video of this, somebody please send it to me. I looked for a video, couldn't find it. Some kind of a clash came out where Urier runs into Jeremy at the hotel. Now, don't forget, Jeremy had to go from the venue to the hospital. I saw a picture of him. He's got a strip over his eye, right? I mean, it's like a patch over his eyeball. And Urier shoved him at the hotel. Now, that is a little bit interesting because I am still confused why Urier is so upset. That's the part that I'm missing. Was he upset because he didn't think he fingered Jeremy's eye? Was he upset because he did think he fingered the eye, but the Jeremy could have continued, thus taking of the night bonuses from him and a win from him and a move in the rankings from him? Does it have nothing to do financially and Chael's just projecting and guessing what would be all possible? I really don't know. But one thing that I do know, okay, the only person that gets to decide if that eye is okay is the doctor and Jeremy. And largely, it's Jeremy. Largely, the doctor in those situations for the matches I've seen will talk to the fighter and then take him at his word. It's really all he knows. Jeremy Stevens, a tough son of a bitch, guys. He's as tough as an old leather boot. There's nothing in his past that would possibly lead you to come to a different conclusion to make believe that Jeremy Stevens, that asked for this fight, agreed to the location, packed up a training camp to his own expense. He picks up the tab for that. 6 weeks early, he goes out to Mexico so he could acclimate, so he could go out and have this victory. Is gonna flick it? Man, that's rude. Not only is that disrespectful, but that's just plain rude. And by the way, you're kicking a guy while he's down. And by the way, I'm not a prude. I've been a tough guy my whole life. So please take it from me. Only part of your body you don't want to is your eyes. The only part. As an athlete, that's the part. It's not your teeth. It's not your nose. We signed up for this. It's not your ears that are going to get mangled. It's not your arm. Broken fingers, all expected, part of the business. Don't want it? Go be a plumber. Go do something else. Don't get in a cage fight. Your eyes? You don't ever mess around with your eyes. That I can tell you. So to question him not wanting to fight while he's seeing double or in pain, whatever it could be, not to mention the fear of, geez, how bad is this? Can't really see it. It's a very real thing. To say otherwise is just rude. And for Yair to shove Jeremy at a hotel, and I am coming to you possibly with one side of the story. I don't know what happened there. Maybe they passed and Jeremy started and I really don't know. But I am a little bit puzzled how Rodriguez is so upset. I don't see how he got slighted. I mean that very sincerely. I don't see how he got slighted. This is a fighter I respect. Fighter I appreciate. I'm on this one situation. If I could talk to him and ask him one question, that's what I would ask. What are you mad about? By the way, what are you mad about? Yair's ranked one in front of Jeremy. He's 6, Jeremy 7. He doesn't move up, but he wasn't going to move up anyway. In the rankings. He did the foul. I've just never seen this. I've never seen the guy do the foul. As closest as I've ever seen, where a guy pretending to be the victim, it ended up working out for him, was Masvidal. Do you guys remember when Masvidal walked up to Leon Edwards, gave him the three-piece and a soda? Masvidal walks right up to him and just touches him up. I mean, this is, I don't know that he even had gloves on. Leon wasn't ready. I mean, there was a lot to it. This was a bad action. It was caught on tape. And Masvidal chased him down, which in the world of law would be called a premeditation. Oh, and by the way, threw all of the punches. Oh, and by the way, took no punches back. Oh, and by the way, every one of the punches he threw landed. Masvidal was the victim. Came out, went aggressive, went to the media, said these hoodlums accosted me. There was three of them. Kept referring them as hoodlums. And he was attacked and he was scared by these hoodlums. I just remember the article. Because I think hoodlum's a very funny word, by the way. I wish that hoodlum would make a comeback as a word. And I remember this article, and I'm reading it. I'm going, this guy's a goddamn genius. This either guy's either been in trouble with the law before and got smartened up somewhere along the way of how to handle this. This guy, through all the punches, after seeking him out, oh, and by the way, has victimized himself. Somehow it worked. Nothing happened. Absolutely nothing happened. I'm watching Masvidal. I'm going, you know, George, not for nothing. I have always liked you, but I like you because you have a quality that I appreciate in people. It's a quality that I have. It's a quality I look for in somebody I want to be friends with. And that is, you're very shady. If you purchase supplies for a business, you know it is nearly impossible to find everything you need in one place. Why is it necessary to go all over town to the hardware store, the supermarket, the drugstore, and get all sorts of materials and items? It's ridiculous. That's why our friends Zorro.com have created a one-stop shop. They've made it easier by having everything all in one place. Zorro.com, spelled Z-O-R-O, is where you will find everything you need for business of any size in almost any industry. Electrical, plumbing, contracting, manufacturing, don't sweat it because Zorro has you covered. Zorro.com has the tools and equipment, safety and office supplies, cleaning devices, and more from brands you know, such as Stanley, 3M, Milwaukee, Schneider, Rubbermaid, just to name a few. Zorro.com offers amazing customer service from real people based in the United States, and you're going to love the fast, free shipping on orders over $50 or more. Just for listeners of this program, you can visit Zoro.com/Chael to sign up for Zmail and get 15% off of your first order. Again, that's Zoro.com/Chael for 15% off your first order. Zoro.com/Chael. Get it all in one place.
This is your welcome with Chael Sonnen.
This is a big year. The Ohio Lottery's golden anniversary. 50 years of excitement, of growing jackpots and crossed fingers. 50 years of funding for schools, of changed lives and brightened days. 50 years of fun, and that is worth celebrating. So watch for can't-miss promotions, huge events, and new games that will make the Ohio Lottery's 50th year its biggest one yet. Learn more at funturns50.com.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
Football season is here, and it's time to dominate the competition with your fantasy picks. And RJ Bell's Dream Preview on Podcast One Sportsnet is your secret weapon to victory.
I said the fact they didn't run it up in week one tells me this guy is so confident he wants to hide his strength.
No matter the matchup, RJ's got you handled with top-notch analysis for the best NFL picks around.
Now, is that true or not? I don't know. Very optimistic.
Download RJ Bell's Dream Preview every week on Apple Podcasts and podcast1.com.
Now, back to your welcome with Chael Sonnen.
All right, guys, right after the fights, I was able to catch up with a good friend, Mike Socio. Mike is a super fan. This guy used to have dogs that were named Shamrock and Gracie. He goes back from the beginning, but I always love to get his perspective. Let's take a listen to that interview. Mike Socio, what's going on, man?
Hey, buddy, how are you?
I'm doing all right. Hey, did you watch the fights last night? I'm talking about Stevens versus Yair.
Yeah, Yair. Yeah, close. Yes, I did watch them. Yes.
Wait, did I say it wrong? Did you correct
me? A little bit.
How do you say it? Other people Yair. Told me I'm throwing an extra R in there.
You are. You're saying your ear.
Yes.
It's Yair.
I was told to say your ear. Yair. That's wrong, though.
No. Yair is right.
Okay.
Okay, you were saying Yair.
Oh, copy that. I did throw an extra R in there. All right, let's go back. Did you see the fight or what was supposed to be the fight?
15 seconds.
Then take it away, man, because I can't make a piece. I can't make a piece out of a 15-second fight. How are you going to do it?
I can't. It's impossible. Without a doubt, the most entertaining part of the fight of the night was, did you see the locked-off camera on Bisping and Brendan Fitzgerald?
Yes.
When he got under that table, that was as good as it gets.
I fully agree with that. And that was a little bit of a mess for a couple of reasons. First off, it's rude for the crowd to throw objects of any level, even if that's the low cannon fodder of assault. But secondly, Mike, you've been to those venues. Do you know how hard it is to come up on a drink and how expensive? You got to get out your credit card if you brought your family to pay for those things. Now you're going to show your displeasure? Screw that. Drink the drink and head to the parking lot.
You know what? It's kind of like going to the movies and spending $3,000 on popcorn.
Yes.
You know what I mean? And then throwing it at the screen.
Never. You take that home at the end of the night, even though you're not going to eat it because it's old, stale popcorn. It's the principle. It costs $14.
Definitely. Absolutely, 100%.
Okay, so, but there is a little bit to unpack here because of the story that came up after the fact, which was largely that Jeremy could have continued and should have continued. I'd love to know your thoughts on that.
You know, look, he just made a comment, Jeremy, about, you know, you're the one who poked me in the eye, bro, and let's run it back and all that stuff. I don't think, why would he not want to continue? I mean,
of course.
Why would you want to go through 6 weeks of a training camp away from your family and so on and so forth and go through the hell of a training camp and then get there and 15 seconds later, you're done? It just doesn't seem to make much sense to me. I don't feel that's true at all. I think it's a really unfortunate situation. Those gloves are impossible, as you know, and it's really, really difficult, and we're going to keep running into this situation every once in a while.
And by the way, that narrative doesn't fit the bill of Jeremy Stevens. He's never quit anything in his life. What do you tell me? He was tired 14 seconds in? You tell me he was hurt 14 seconds? Come on, that's insane. He wanted the purse. He's a prize fighter. Not to mention, he's pretty good at getting of-the-night bonuses, as is Your ear? Your ear?
Well,
I'm trying over here. Rodriguez, okay? As is Rodriguez. It's one of those things where I just thought that that was a really unfair, you know, kind of like you were kicking a guy when he was down or putting salt into the wound, whatever the analogy you want to give. I don't know how you come away with that. And I would always be hesitant to throw my own personal opinion on those things because what a sensitive part of your body. I mean, if there's anything you don't need to mess with on your whole, it's your eyes. Don't mess with your eyes. Come on.
Definitely, you want to be really careful. Look, these guys that take shots to the groin and when they take shots to the eyes, you got to give them their time. You know, Herb Dean really wanted it to continue. You know, he really tried. He was like, dude, take your time, take your time. Don't try to get, try not to get the doctor in the cage and everything. And but it's something that if you're hurting and you can't physically open your eye, you know, it's spasming to the point where you can't open it. How can you possibly A, get mad at that, and B, want or expect Jeremy Stephens to continue? I think it's BS, man. I think the crowd was really, and they really threw stuff. I mean, it was awful, and it's out of everybody's control. And it's like, I don't know, it's just an awful, it's an awful situation.
And the scary part about it, because I've seen so many people go, oh, so what, it was just a water bottle. That is true, and yes, it was a water, and no one was hurt. I get it. But if you're under attack like that, the fear comes from what you think is being thrown. You don't have time to know, oh, that's just a beer or it's a half-empty water bottle. You just know you're under attack. What's coming next? It can be a little bit terrifying. I mean, when you saw those commentators go under the table so they could protect themselves but also finish the broadcast, come on. That's hazard pay.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, definitely it is hazard pay. And it's true. You don't know water. You're absolutely right.
Right.
First of all, it's not just water. It's soda. And ice cubes, and who, I mean, people can throw anything they find near their seat or anything else. It's dangerous. It really is. I don't want to sound like the old corny dude, but it's dangerous and it's not cool. It's not, I mean, it just makes MMA fans look bad too. And I hate that because so many people say, oh, it's a blood sport. And you watch that stuff. It's so violent. I'm like, no, it's amazing. Have you ever seen a fight at the Saitama Arena or whatever it is in Japan? You can hear a pin drop. You know,
sure.
And then last night happens and it's like, see, and I'm like, ey. So it's not great. Not great for the sport last night.
All right. So I got to switch gears on you because I've missed you. I've missed you on the show. You took a week off, but there has been some news where you and I left off was what's going to go on with Khabib. Is it going to be Tony? We both agreed. Of course it's going to be Tony. But Mike, it's not Tony. And I don't know what's going on here, but there's something going on here to the point that Dana White is now having to come in and say, well, it might be George St. Pierre. Oh, and by the way, Conor's coming back right around the same time that Khabib wants to come back. For some reason, I believe it's part of the negotiation, but somewhere there's a roadblock to where he's having to let the boys at the table know, I'll bring somebody else into this seat if you don't want it.
100%. I think, okay, first of all, it's really sad because they've tried to make this fight four times or whatever it is, and it never seems to work out, and it looks like we're heading towards number five or whatever time it's going to be. But I think Dana, look, that was definitely a get off, you know, shit or get off the pot situation, I think, with him saying, well, George St. Pierre, I think he's reaching for straws there, but you never know. But I think he's really just trying to motivate Tony. I think Tony is a guy, he marches to the beat of his own drum. He's not a guy that's, you know, a standard dude. So he's probably giving them some difficulty in the negotiations, and Dana had to bring out the big guns. He had to say, I will make another fight. How does Conor sound? How does GSP sound? And quite honestly, neither one of them sound nearly as interesting to me. Even Conor, it just doesn't sound as interesting. Tony's the fight to make. I fear that it's not going to get done. I have a very bad feeling about it, but I hope they can get their stuff together and make this fight happen because it's great for MMA. And I don't think George St. Pierre versus Khabib is great for MMA. I know the big thing, I get it. People love George St. Pierre. I just feel like it's a different time. There's no way to really monitor where he's at in his life, where he's at in his fight game. It could be a one-sided situation. George is getting older. He hasn't fought in a while. I don't have an excitement factor for that fight whatsoever.
Yeah, and my interpretation is the exact same as yours. That Dana pulled that out, not because George and Khabib is going to happen or because Dana's even going to tie. He was letting somebody know, I can and will move on. As a matter of fact, I can put these pieces together. Now, that's what it seems that Dana was doing. I used to be teammates with Tony Ferguson. I consider him a friend. This guy had a championship that he never lost yet, no longer has a championship. Figure that riddle out, new fans.
He then
started at the bottom, took out a world champion in Anthony Pettis, by stoppage, took out a world champion in Cowboy Cerrone. I guess what I'm saying, when I look at those pieces of the puzzles, that is not a man who's ready to quit when he gets to the championship match.
Right.
But there is a reason Dana said that, and he didn't say, I'll bring Georgian to fight one of these guys, he specifically said Khabib, which led us to believe that Tony was the one on third base wearing a catcher's mitt. My interpretation.
Yep. I couldn't agree with you more. Something is afoot. I don't know what it is. I really don't, but I'm sure of it. There's no way Dana comes at a time like this when everybody's on the Khabib and Tony train and starts talking about GSP. It's madness. It's like, I don't know. It's kind of like you're trying to make a girl jealous, maybe, you know, and you're like, well, you know, I still got my ex-girlfriend, Darlene. You know, she's still around. You know
I haven't thrown like, that phone number away yet. Right. Darlene got married. I saw her on Facebook.
Exactly.
Oh,
that Darlene? I was talking about the other Darlene.
Let me go get you some flowers. All right. Well, one more fight got announced since we talked last. Not announced, but Dana confirmed that it will happen, which is Stipe versus Cormier 3. The fight to make.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think of it? Love it?
I do love it. I think it was really an interesting fight last time. I think the first fight, I will say this, until Cormier was really smart and had that situation where he dropped down and he came over the top, I do believe he was losing the fight. I think Stipe's just a bigger, stronger guy.
And you're talking about
the first
fight, right, Mike? Yes, that's true.
Yes, the first fight. Yep. The first fight, I felt like he was losing until he did that fantastic move that he pulled, Daniel. The second fight was kind of lopsided. I do feel like it will light a fire in Daniel Cormier. And when Daniel Cormier is a winner, as we all know, he's just a guy that finds a way to win. More interesting even than the fight or watching him compete is watching him solve a riddle and trying to figure out how to win. I don't think he was extremely motivated for Stipe 2. I thought he was going to win. He thought he was going to win handily. And he went into that fight kind of, yeah, whatever. It's the fight and it's cool, whatever. I don't think he was super motivated. Part three, motivated. He does not want to lose again, especially in a trilogy situation. This is a rubber match. Daniel's going to figure a way to solve that riddle again. And I can't wait to see how he does it. And I do think he can do it. I think Stipe's bigger and stronger and all that stuff. And he's a true heavyweight. And he can beat Daniel a lot of the time, but I just have a really odd feeling that Daniel's going to find a way to win. It's just up here, he's just awesome.
Okay,
so I think he's going to win three.
So now that we have this evidence from Dana, it looks like the music has stopped, and the only one without a chair is John Jones. In terms of, if you were the promoter, Mike, and you had to sell this, and you got this rare talent in John, but nobody wants to watch a movie if they know how it ends, right? In the fight business, you specifically have to create a narrative that this other guy could be the one. What do you do with John Jones? Who do you put him against? How do you figure this out? Do you look to Weidman versus Reyes? Maybe
you might look to Weidman versus Reyes. I think that's a really interesting fight. Reyes is one of those guys like Johnny. What's his name? I'm just blanking on
Walker.
His name right now.
Walker.
Yes.
Yep.
Johnny Walker. He's the future. To me, he's my guy. I'm saying it now. I'm putting it out there and saying that Johnny Walker has the belt and will be the next John Jones, the unbeatable guy in the UFC. I truly believe that. I think he's that good. Dominic Reyes is really close. Dominic Reyes is awesome. I don't say that he beats Weidman, but I really like Chris, and I think Chris is a great fighter. But Dominic Reyes, man, he's the future. And if he wins that fight, you can 100%, you can promote Reyes in a way that he can rise to the level of, in an audience's mind, being a good competitor for John Jones. Beyond that, I don't know. Where do you go? What do you do? That's a really tough one.
It's a really tough one. And what ends up happening to John Jones, which is very unfair, is people think, oh, you're not fighting very hard fights, right? If you don't have a big name, then just in the fight world, you don't get to be a good fighter. Well, that's not true. There's great fighters, but I'm talking about selling tickets, selling subscriptions. That, I do think, is where a Chris Weidman really does fit the bill, being a former world champion, being a fellow New Yorker. Possibly Reyes, who's undefeated, to remind you, getting the shine off of Weidman if he wins. Possibly that propels him enough, but I also tend to think you're right. It is Johnny Walker, but he needs a couple more fights. You and I but we're hardcore fans. The little old lady in Iowa, she's going to think that's the name of a whiskey that we're mispronouncing.
100%. You're 100% right. That's not going to put butts in seats. But Chris Weidman will, because I think people will always remember, and it's recent history enough, of Chris Weidman beating Anderson Silva twice. Right. So I think a lot of people look at Anderson Silva as the GOAT, or one of the GOATs for sure. And the same with John Jones. So it'll be an interesting thing to say, how would Weidman compete against John Jones? Well, he beat Anderson Silva. And I think people make that connection in their mind. And I think it makes for a fantastic fight. If Weidman looks great against Reyes, That's the fight to make. Dana will jump all over that fight. I can guarantee it. That's going to be the fight to make.
All right, I got to switch gears on you, but I wanted to ask you this on a personal level, but I haven't been able to talk to you. Have you seen Super Size Me 2?
No.
You saw the first one, though, I'm assuming.
I did. The McDonald's one.
Yes.
He went to McDonald's and he ate McDonald's every day for a month, right?
Yes, and he gains weight and his cholesterol, and it was all of this stuff, and it was kind of against fast food. I mean, there's a little bit of a theme there. So I tuned in to see number two, and not because I love number one. There was just nothing else to watch. I was just wondering your opinion, because after I got done watching that, I wasn't sure why the movie was made. It was really confusing. It did not tie in to number one. He kind of went after the chicken industry. He was kind of talking about the power that Tyson frozen chicken has over chicken. I just didn't get it. I watched the whole thing. I was disappointed in the movie. I don't know why it was made. I wanted to critique a movie, but I wanted a guy who's a professional in the business take on it, but apparently you haven't seen it.
I will 100% watch it because I would love to discuss it with you. From what I heard, it's an attempt to take down Big Chicken, right? It's the whole thing of like, there's Big Tobacco, there's Big Chicken, okay? That's a big industry. And from what I heard and what I read, and again, I haven't seen it, is that the difference between this and Super Size Me 1, and you have to watch out with a guy like Morgan Spurlock. He had a lot of success back then. He was new. He was motivated. He was really trying to prove something. He didn't know how the McDonald's thing was going to turn out for himself. I think he was kind of shocked at how very nauseous he became. I think with this one, it was a smear campaign. You know, it was a, we're going after Big Chicken. And anytime you do that, it becomes a little lopsided. So maybe that is what you saw. It wasn't as pure maybe as the first one, but I'll watch it and we'll discuss.
I would love to. And I just want to tell you this, if you're watching with a little bit of a critical eye, he talks about a concept known as a health halo. And in this case, he was dealing with chicken and as it pertains to fast food. So anytime a fried chicken that is very little chicken meat, whole lot of breading, whole lot of grease, you put it on a bun, you cover it in mayonnaise, but then you put things to create a halo like coleslaw on top. So people go, oh, well, it's got cabbage on top and it's got cucumber on it instead of, that sounds healthy. And this was like this fascinating concept and I'm kind of looking at it going, man, that's propaganda and marketing, and that's not enough of a concept to make a movie. The idea that somebody could sell you on fast food being healthy because they put a cucumber on the sandwich is not that interesting, Morgan. That's my take. God bless him for doing it, but I think I'd love to recap with you. I really did on a personal level. Wanted to ask you what you thought of it.
I'm going to watch it 100%, and this Halo thing sounds crazy to me. It all sounds delicious, if I'm being honest. I mean, you know, look at me. I'm not mad at a fried chicken thing. Anything fried chicken with halos, without halos, I'm good. So, yeah, I'm good with the, you know, I'll check the movie out and we'll discuss.
Go ahead.
Sorry to interrupt you. I want to let you know, in the predictions that we had in the last one, did I hit that out of the park?
Nailed it.
Round three stoppage.
Nailed it. That's the only way you could make money betting on Khabib Nurmagomedov. You have to call the way that he wins, and you have to call the round. You would have done about 7-1 business on that.
I would have. I didn't do anything. I didn't end up betting because after our conversation, I watched our last podcast and our interview, and I was flopping all over the place. I was for Tony. I was for Khabib. I mean, I was for Dustin. I was for Khabib. I was Dustin Khabib. So I didn't bet anything, and I didn't win anything, but I enjoyed the fight.
That's what drives our business right there.
Yep,
that's what drives the business, and you constantly question. You forget a guy's greatness. Greatness is something fans have to be reminded of all the time. Every time I watch John Jones or Khabib, by example, I go, I will never bet against them again. I don't know how I forgot that they're so good. And every time they fight, I go, well, you know, tonight could be the night because this guy. But that I want that. As a fan, I want that. I want the conversation. I want the doubt. That makes it fun for me.
Absolutely. We went back and forth, and quite honestly, you made some really great points that night. And we really had some theories on how Dustin could pull it off. And they were all, like, they all made sense. They weren't so far-fetched. The guy's a fantastic fighter. He could have pulled it off. And then I watched it. I'm like, oh, right. It's Khabib. I forgot. And he is something, man. He really is. He is a specimen. The kid is awesome.
Yeah, I fully agree. All right, so you got anything else to get off your chest?
No, brother, that's it. I'm going to go watch some stuff about fried chicken and talk to you about that soon, and I can't wait.
I'm going to go get myself some chicken nuggets. I'm glad we had this talk. Thank you, pal. Talk soon.
Thank you, brother. Talk soon, guys. Bye.
Mike Socio, always an expert, by the way. I must say, if anybody has a gift for gab and can tell you something simple and make it sound phenomenal, it's that guy. Let me take a minute to tell you about our new sponsor and our friends at Wrangler. Wrangler makes cool jeans for guys who want to look and feel good. They've got new styles you haven't seen yet with all the comfort you'd expect from Wrangler. And Wrangler has jean styles to fit all kinds of men, like all of you out there listening. I've been really enjoying my original fit jeans from Wrangler. They fit like a glove, and they've stepped up my fashion game. That's because Wrangler offers the best and latest styles. Straight leg, slim fit, tampered, premium washes, you name it, all in the name of making you look great. Want to check them out? Just go to wrangler.com/chael to find your new favorite jeans. That's wrangler.com/chael. Wrangler, wear it with abandon. So Maxim Volkanovski has been officially announced. Now, that was a little bit news to me, only in the regard that I thought that fight was announced 6 weeks ago. I knew about it 6 weeks ago. I haven't talked to Max or Volkan. I knew that fight was happening. I feel like all of you guys, right? We knew that fight was happening, but that fight is really interesting to me, and here's why. When you have a guy as dominant as Max, who really isn't losing very many rounds, I mean, to go up and find somebody that can beat him, he got to change weight classes. When you have a guy that good, he's got to change weight classes to find somebody, look, searching for some level of competition. There's a storyline that's built in where, yes, you do want to see greatness. You do want to see somebody who is just really good. But you need a compelling reason to believe that he is up against something he's never faced before. Even if you believe he's going to win, it's helpful for the psychology of the fan to believe that he's going to have an obstacle or a challenge that he hasn't been confronted with before. That's hard to do with Max. He's taken on the world's best grapplers. He's taken on the world's best strikers. He's taken on great competitors that are just dog tough and can push hard. One of the intangibles that you guys love to talk about. But Volkanovski brings something to the table that Max has never dealt with before, but I've also never seen it brought to the table. I'm talking about pure strength. I have never seen a fight built around, can the champion deal with the strength of his opponent? And the reason Max has never fought anybody as strong as Volkanovski, where I can tell you that, for sure. He's never been in there with anyone as strong as Volkanovski. There's never been anybody in the division as strong as Volkanovski. Volkanovski used to weigh 96 kilograms. To put that in American terms for you, 214 pounds, roughly. That was off the top of my head. Might be as low as 211 pounds. You get the point. He's all the way down to 145. This guy is a muscle shark to the highest of levels. Now, that's before I even start talking about his skills, his durability, how much he wants to win, his scrambling, his condition, before I even get into that. And the reason I don't, why I don't think that's the X's and O's of the fight, I've seen Max in there with guys that can do that. Never seen Max in there with somebody this strong. Aldo, who is anything but weak, had a trouble with Volkanovski's strength. Chad Mendez, who's anything but, we take one look at Chad Mendez, right? He looks like he's carved out of stone, had trouble with Volkanovski's strength. It's a very interesting storyline, particularly when you look at a top former number one contender in Chad Mendez, top world champion who was undefeated for 11 years, most decorated, most successful featherweight of all time in Jose Aldo. And they both struggled with strength, not generally something we see in the sport. Dated all the way back to 1993, one of Hoist Gracie's original arguments was strength does not matter. Size does not matter. It's all in the technique. That is ingrained in us. But when you have a guy that is just simply at a superhuman level of any skill, speed, strength, condition, whatever it is, but he's not like a normal being, practice partner, opponent, it brings something worth talking about, and it definitely brings something worth seeing.
You're listening to You're Welcome with Chael Sonnen.
Justin, and so good. Thousands of spring deals at your Nordstrom Rack store. Save big today on new arrivals from Kate Spade, New York, Nike, Sam Edelman, Free People, and Madewell, starting at only $30. Great brands and great prices on dresses, denim, sandals, designer bags, and more. So rack your look and get first dibs on spring styles you want now from just $30 at your Nordstrom Rack store. What will you find?
Spectrum One is a big deal. You get Spectrum Internet with the most reliable internet speeds, free advanced Wi-Fi for enhanced security and privacy, and a free Spectrum Mobile Unlimited line with nationwide 5G included, all while saving big. For the big speed, big reliability, and big savings you want, get Spectrum One. Just $49.99 a month for 12 months. Visit spectrum.com/bigdeal for full details. Offer subject to change. Valid for qualified residential customers only. Service not available in all areas. Restrictions apply.
Now, back to Your Welcome with Chael Sonnen.
All right, so the Worlds has recapped, and so many of you have asked, hey, Chael, how come you didn't do a recap of the final day? Well, I don't really have an answer. I guess old Chael was sleeping on it, and I just assumed that we were all up to date, and when I come at you a dollar short and a day late, I figure it's old news, but if you'd like one, here it goes. So, I mean, let's start with Tyler Graff. Tyler Graff can do anything in the world against anybody in the world. But that's one of those weight classes that everything has to line up. That's true. I've seen that go in his favor before, where he's taken on world medalists that maybe were sleeping on him because he was a new guy coming out of the U.S. And I've seen it work in his favor before, where he's just so fast and he's so determined and he's so skilled. He's also a guy that you don't want to run into in the opening rounds, right? You'll hear so many times about athletes that are slow starters. But you'll never hear about athletes that are fast start, that do better earlier in the day than they do later in the day. I couldn't even tell you why, but you don't want to run into Graff early in a tournament. You go follow his career, nobody's going to tell me I'm wrong on that. Tyler Graff has not lost the opening match of a tournament or the second match of a tournament since he was 7 years old, by the way. So he comes out, he looks fantastic, he sees this as his opportunity. Non-Olympic weight class. Got over on a world medalist in Joe Colon just to get the boom. He's making the most of it. He looked fantastic. And then there were some guys that he ran into that also looked fantastic. That's just what happened. So 6 minutes later, what do? For the Worlds of Wrestling, you look at the scoreboard. Whoever's got more points gets their hand raised, and that's all that happened. I loved his effort. I don't regret 1 second of staying up till 4 a.m. to watch Graff. You go into Downey, okay? Now, I have a little bit more personal involvement with Downey. I'm out here in Oregon, and contrary to a lot of popular belief, Downey actually was planning to come to Oregon to wrestle college. I met him on his recruiting trip at CCC. Coach Roden introduced me to him. So I've stayed in contact with him over the years, watching him do this, watching him progress, watching all the crap that he went through his senior year of collegiate eligibility, which was nothing short than underhanded, but a whole nother story. To watch him get this chance, and plus he's a street fighter out there, right? He's got his knees bent and he's in a wrestling position, but he just showed up to fight. It's so for many of the wrong reasons, I love to watch Downey. For the same reason I like to watch Austin DeSanto. Yes, I admit there for many of the wrong reasons, you're getting my attention. Does a great job. Eventually he gets chest locked early on in a match, like 17 seconds in, 4 points. Somewhere there was a challenge by the U.S. It doesn't go our way. He's down 5 points, 24 seconds into this match. It's very hard to not lose your composure. It's a great thing and an easy way to sell books to be a coach and say, you know, you got to reset and you got to refocus. That's true. That is what you need to do in those situations. Going out and doing that, it's not really a reality. And he is no different. He went out, he was looking for body locks. He was looking for laterals. He wanted to get those 4 points back. He needed to get back on the board. He knew time was ticking down, even if there's still 5.5 minutes left. These guys, international wrestling, are very good at closing out a match. And they'll shut down in a match. It'll take 3 minutes before the referee even realized, oh, wait, this guy shut down. Tough to do. Downey tried to get his points back. Didn't happen. You move on. Kyle Dake, right? Kyle Dake goes out and just does what Kyle Dake does. There was one interesting thing about Kyle Dake, though. Coming into this tournament, this guy's won 4 NCAA championships, and he's a world champion. Anything you can do, he's done. But one thing that he did is he went through the world championships, his first one ever, last year, and did not give up a point. 44 points scored by Dake, 0 points scored collectively by all of his opponents. I could be wrong when I tell you this stat, but I do not believe that had been done by an American since 1972 when Gable did it in the Olympics. If I'm wrong on that, feel free to correct me. I'll read it, I'll correct myself, and I'll credit you. But it was a very big deal that Dake had done this, and it was also the talk. Dake had come out. People then weren't even calling him a 4-time NCAA champion anymore. They weren't even calling him a world champion anymore. Brand new headline. 44-0 world champion. It was the biggest thing. Comes into this year's world championship, snaps the front headlock down 2 seconds into the match, rolls to his own back. Guy stops and boom, Date gives up two. So what a difference a day make, right? Date comes back, texts that guy. But it was just one of those interesting things. I can remember back all the way to high school. This guy ran out to wrestle in the state finals. And one of the announcer was reading the tournaments he won and what his record was and how he had done in Fargo and where he signed for college. I mean, it was just all of these different things. Wonderful things. One of the things the announcer says is, he hasn't given up a takedown all season. I had never heard that claim before. Now, possibly because I'd never seen a guy wrestle for a state championship that could make that claim, but I'd never heard that claim before. 2 seconds into the match, his opponent takes him down. It was like the curse. And I felt that for Kyle. And I don't say any of that is negative. I don't think you'd interpret it as negative. But to be clear, I thought it was a cool thing, right? I mean, you get that right off your bat, right out of the gate. That pressure is gone. The only pressure that Kyle Date came into that tournament to do is the only pressure that nobody would let him outlive, which is that he had not given up a point at the world championship. He got that monkey off his back 2 seconds into the match, proceeds to roll through the tournament, ends up in the finals in a rematch with the same guy he had last year, who is a painfully boring wrestler. The guy is just fantastic. He is painfully boring. I acknowledge he is the second best wrestler in the world. I acknowledge it was the right guy. I have no complaints, but I'm telling you, there's some guys that are just dull. Kyle Date is the only guy alive that can make that guy look good. Kyle goes 4-2 with this guy this year. He goes 2-0 with him last year. That's a combined 6-2 over 12 minutes of action, and it's fun to watch. Date is just that guy. He's just fun. Cox wins the gold. That was the night before, but I can't remember if we cover it. And then you get into Snyder. Here's the problem with Snyder. Okay, he's the best. He's very basic. He's only got a couple of attacks. He's got incredible strength. He's got incredible gas tank. Okay, great. That's what Snyder is. Great. But if you're a coach and that's all you have to deal with over the course of somebody's success, and he has had tremendous success, it's also something that you can break down on video quite easy. A lot easier than you can some of these more dynamic wrestlers with more dynamic attacks. It's something you can break down. And when Kyle Snyder got his level of success, everybody started studying him. Everybody. This guy studied within the country. This guy studied within Russia. He studied within Cuba. He studied within Germany. He studied by the Swedes. This guy is one of those guys. They're just going to shut him down. Their first goal, it's a moral victory for some of these guys if they can just get to the end of the match with Snyder. No matter what the score is or how bad the ass kicking was, if you can just get those minutes with him, you've succeeded. That's a very real thing. As a coach, I have patted some athletes on the back in failure for going out and keeping a match close. It's a very real thing. When you're dealing with Snyder, a lot of times that is your only hope. Your only hope of getting an attaboy to make it 6 minutes. Okay, great. So he's got to work hard. Guys are doing that. They're shutting him down. He's still teching them. He's still throwing these guys all over. He's still never in jeopardy. But the match is a lot harder than if two guys just went out there and wrestled. Now you got one guy wrestling against a guy who doesn't want to wrestle. Fine. That's what happens over the course of a tournament. When that's happening to you, you're going to experience some stuff that other guys aren't, mainly fatigue. I'm not coming out to tell you that Kyle was fatigued. I'm sharing with you, this is one of the things that happens when you're an elite guy who is studied nonstop. When your name is known in every wrestling room on the face of the country and every coach shows technique and then says, this is something Kyle Snyder does. You start to learn Kyle Snyder a little bit. Great. Hadn't really slowed him down yet, but it's one of the things that he has to deal with. He gets into the semifinals. Oh, and by the way, he's taken on the 2011 world champion, who was the 2012 Olympic champion, who was the 2016 bronze medalist out of Azerbaijan. I've watched Kyle wrestle this guy before. I watched it with my own eyes. Kyle didn't have that hard of a time. I believe they have wrestled twice before. I got to see him wrestle once. I believe they've wrestled twice. Kyle didn't have a hard time either match. And all of a sudden, it was just one of the guy grabs a takedown, then he goes right into a pushout. He's got 3 points. In international wrestling against an Olympic champion, 3 points. You've heard the expression, the bank closes at 5. Okay, a match closes at 3 points. I mean, Kyle comes back. They get into a dogfight. But ultimately, you know, if he'd not given up that first takedown, I think that match would have been different. It closed out at 5-2. But it was just one of those deals, you know, where he was scouted. It was one of those deals. He didn't put his focus into having to scout anybody because nobody's beaten him aside from Sajalayev. One of those deals. I don't know that he was ready for that entire bracket the way that they were ready for him. And he fights his way back through. He comes back. He gets a bronze. It was a very honorable performance. But for me, in large part, and I will admit I have sour grapes. Yes, I do. I'm a fan. I'm an American wrestling fan. I didn't get my way. But for me, in the grand scheme of things, I got to take that match. With Azerbaijan, I just throw it out. I firmly do not believe that that could happen again. It hadn't happened before. I don't believe it would happen again. I think it was a one-off. There's the recap of the World Championships. We won't be able to talk about this again for a year, but it'll go quickly. To all my gamers out there, it's time to raise some hell and make some mayhem. Shoot and loot your way through a mayhem-fueled adventure in Borderlands 3 for PC, Xbox One, and PlayStation 4. Borderlands 3 features all new characters, including 4 new playable Vault Hunters and over a billion guns and weapons, and a crazy amount of customization. Play solo or with your friends and take on the insane enemies, score loads of loot, and save the galaxy from a fanatical threat. Mayhem is available now. Borderlands 3 on PC, Xbox One, and PlayStation 4. For more information, check out Borderlands.com, rated M for mature. So, I got a little bit of good news earlier today. Brian Ortega is going to fight Korean Zombie in December in South Korea. I'm not as into the location as many people are. I mean, that seemed to be like a built-in narrative right out of the gate that was going to favor Zombie. There was an article by the kids on the Underground that Ortega is being punished and therefore has to go to set. Man, I don't really see it that way. I mean, they set that octagon up. It's the unified rules. The weight classes are the same. The hell's the difference? I've never known of a home court advantage, a home field advantage when it comes to MMA. I see it as a disadvantage. I've had to fight at home before. It's the worst place to fight. I mean, aside from the media obligations, aside from the fact that now it doesn't really feel like a fight, you're not checking into the hotel, you're not kind of going through the process, you're sleeping in your own bed, you're driving your own car, it's just a little bit different. You have no idea the pain in the ass that it is to get up, hit up from all of your friends and family for free tickets. I mean, believe me, I don't know that I agree, and I most certainly don't think that Ortega is being punished for it. However, I think it's a really fun fight. I'm really happy that it's happening. And I also think that it's an appropriate fight. These two have some kind of a beef with each other, and I'm not totally sure where it came from. Because everybody seems to really like Brian Ortega, right? He seems like a rough guy, but he's one of those rough guys that doesn't have any enemies. Everyone just likes him. He's a nice enough guy, and he's got an incredible skill set, which means now you respect. No one ever has heat with Ortega. The same thing goes for Zombie. I have never met anybody in this business that ever said, you know who I don't like? I don't like that Korean Zombie guy. I've never heard those words. But these two have some kind of beef with one another. If I could encourage one thing, let us in on that. Wherever that came from, whatever that's about, tell us. Tell a guy like me that likes to tell stories. I'll tell everybody else. But as far as a fight goes, don't forget Ortega's last fight. It's very relevant. And we talk about it over here a lot, but it's very relevant. He's in a 5-round contest, okay? You're the main event, you're in 5 rounds. You're in a title fight, you're in 5 rounds. He found himself in both. Means he's going 5 rounds. It was a very long night. And ultimately, the referee had to stop the contest on the feet, which is a very rare thing to do. Including a boxer. You just don't see it a lot. It's appropriate. It was appropriate when it happened there. But it comes with immense amounts of damage. A referee generally, as a human being and as an aficionado of the sport, is not inclined to stop the feet when two guys are on their feet trading shots and one guy doesn't fall down. The sport largely, and combat as a whole, and I'm bringing boxing into this too, is designed for the other guy to fall down when he's hurt. So if he never falls down, is he hurt? I mean, that's the question they're up against. Now, you could name a number of fights where refs have stepped in, but you could not name a number of fights where a ref has stepped in, stopped a fight while they were on their feet and called it a TKO and tell me there wasn't significant damage. There was. He took damage. That's what Max does. He took damage. He had to take a meaningful period of time off because of that damage. He comes back against Zombie, but he's coming back into a 5-round atmosphere, which means he needs to be fully recouped, fully healed. I trust that he is. I trust that it has been enough time. I will also share with you, for any of you conspiracy theorists that think going over to South Korea is going to be an extra burden on him. And there's a level of that. By the way, this is a pie. There is a little slice in there where that most definitely is true. I just don't think the piece of the pie is quite as big as some. But 5 rounds is very relevant. And it would just seem to me that if you had one choice, if you were Team Ortega, you had one choice, it wouldn't be get that thing out of Korea. It wouldn't be go give me that opponent. It might be I could use 3 rounds right now. Sport doesn't go that way. Fighting doesn't go that way. But when you do look at it, it seems as though Korean Zombie would also like that. Don't forget his fight with Yuri Rodriguez, of which he was winning on the cards 1 second left until he was. It's just a very long time. When you're coming off a loss, you're a little down in the dumps anyway. You've got to rebuild yourself. You've got to get back in the gym, get back into shape. As far as the fight goes, I love it. And so many people think this is a classic fight that if Ortega can get him down, he's going to win. And if Zombies keeps it standing, he's going to win. Man, I could find plenty of fights that Korean Zombie's been in. On his back, on top, any way you want to do it, on the ground, giving the guy tremendous problems. And the same goes with Ortega. I watched Ortega win fights. By now, who did he win to become the number one contender before he fought Holloway? I believe it was Frankie Edgar. And I believe he won by knockout. So I think we have short-term memories on that. I don't think it's a classic battle of striker versus grappler at all. I strongly disagree, but I do agree that we got a lot of fun. And regardless of my objections, we potentially have a lot of fun for 25 minutes. Guys, I've been participating in this year's Sportsnet Challenge, and I've been taking my lumps. Shaq, Woody Page, Spike's Car Radio, they're all beating me in the rankings. How is a car podcast beating me in anything? But it's still early, and the competition there has some big games this weekend in the NFL. For me to gain some ground, I'm taking a look at the Eagles versus the Packers, the Titans taking on the Falcons, the Vikings going up against the Bears, and the Cowboys versus the Saints. Visit our friends and exclusive partner at Podcast One, betonline.ag, to take advantage of the sport's best odds and some of the biggest bonuses in the business. Sign up today for a free account. Go to betonline.ag. Use the promo code PODCAST1. That's betonline.ag, your online sportsbook experts and the exclusive partner of Podcast One Sportsnet. So Robert Whittaker's coach came out and he made headlines because he compared Robert Whittaker to George St. Pierre. And he said, Whittaker is just like St. Pierre, only better. As a coach, would have to finish and correct the statement partway through. But that was an interesting one for me right out of the gate. I bet it was for you guys too. And I'll tell you why it was for me. And I want to know if I'm right, you had the same opinion. Those guys are polar opposite fighters, right? They both started in karate, which was the tie-in that the coach had made. Very fair. They both fought at middleweight. They are both middleweight world champions. There's many comparisons there, but you got a stand-up fighter in Whittaker versus the ground guy in St. Pierre. So it was a little bit of, I kind of had to look at it for a little bit, going, where's he seeing this? What is the comparison here? And Robert Whittaker used to train at TriStar, which means he used to train either alongside George or with George. So I was wondering, was the coach in the room at the time? I'm trying to make more out of this, possibly, that was there. But I'm trying to figure out, why do we have this dialogue? Was there some kind of falling out there? Am I going in the right direction? Does one have nothing to do with the other? And the coach is just tipping his hat to George. Okay, great. But here's what I do like about it, and here's what I do agree with. I've about had it, as an educated fight fan, who talks to educated fight fans, with Robert Whittaker not getting his due. And before anybody looks at me and goes, oh, Chael, how could he be ranked any higher? He's the champion. He's main event. Man, I get all of those things. You guys also see where his name is on the pound-for-pound list. You guys also know what kind of a draw he is, what kind of fire he has under him, and how much respect you would get. Come on. Stay with me on this. Why does he not get respect? Well, we can actually identify it. He's a real handsome guy, likes to hang out with his family, never gets in trouble, doesn't talk trash. We understand all of these things. But over a period of time, eventually a guy's skills have to speak for themselves, right? At one point, a guy will speak for himself. No different than in school, no different on the playground. He'll come out and tell you how good he is and how tough he is. It could be any sport. I'm the greatest football player in the world. Well, eventually they have tryouts, and either is or he isn't. In this sport, with all that Robert Whittaker has done, but particularly with his battles with Yoel Romero, I feel like on the streets, Yoel Romero has more cred than Whittaker. Tell me if you guys agree with me. On the streets, who would you show more of a whoa, a fear of, a respect of, if it came down to it? I bet 90% of you or more said Romero. Well, don't forget, and that's great. You should be scared of Romero. Those guys fought twice. Whittaker beat him twice. Twice. 10 rounds. I could go on and on about other things that Whittaker has done. I could go into The Ultimate Fighter. In fact, you know what? I think I will. I like to talk about The Ultimate Fighter, guys. I get great memories from there. But The Ultimate Fighter represents so many things that are great about this sport. It also represents the toughest tournament in all of sport. Now, I got that line from my Uncle Mel, who won an Olympic gold medal in Tokyo in 1964 for this country in basketball. He looked at what I was going to go through with The Ultimate Fighter. I was explaining it to him. He says, Chael, the only thing I could even think of that would be comparison to this is Olympic Village. That's the only sport in the world. My uncle went on to win two NBA championships, by the way. So tremendous sports knowledge. He says, it's the only thing I could think of where athletes are going to live together. Then you're telling me they're going to get in a van and ride to a venue together, compete against each other, get in the same van, go back home, sit down, eat a meal together, get up the next day and go take on somebody else in that exact same is the Olympic Games. One of the most respected sports entities and competitions in the history of Earth. In fact, it's the most respected. That's what you have in the Ultimate Fighter. But the thing that I like about it, and that's not why I brought this up, the thing I like about the Ultimate Fighter is, do you want to fight? It's the very first question. Do you want to fight? If you guys want to get really tough with this, will you fight for free? Becomes the next question. And the guys that raise their hand, you know you're in business with. There's a third question. Would you pay me to fight? Not only am I not going to pay you, not only will you not get paid, will you pay me? And before you think I'm asking you something ridiculous, every other sport in the world, if you want to do it, you must pay a registration fee. Every sport in the world. So I want to, would you pay me? Now, you're going to have plenty of guys that don't fall into all three of those categories, but I think you can see my point here on why the Ultimate Fighter is so respected. Okay, there is no negotiation, and we're not going to sit down with you and your manager. We're not going to meet about meeting and talk about talking, see how our body feels, check, none of these things. Short notice, not enough notice, I don't like the venue, all the excuse, my girlfriend doesn't want me to fight, all the things that these pretend tough guys come up with. You go into the Ultimate Fighter, I take on anybody, at any time, throughout this process, at the predetermined weight, whether I feel like it or not. Oh, by the way, it might be my roommate. It may literally be the guy who I've been bunking with. I'm going to sleep here. He's going to sleep here. The alarm goes off. We kind of wake each other up and make sure we both have something to eat and get in the van so we can go fight each other. All right. I mean, the guys that go through this Ultimate Fighter need to be so respected. There was one season of it. It was called The Comeback. And whoever won The Comeback, and all that meant, for anybody that may not know, is you had to be a veteran before. You were a UFC veteran that either retired or was cut. Either way, this is your comeback. Oh, but there's a little something special on this. Whoever wins this tournament is going to fight for the world championship. Now, at that time, Anderson Silva was the world champion in middleweight, which was contested. And George St. Pierre was the welterweight champion, which was a contested weight class to the Ultimate Fighter. Luter wins the tournament. He takes on Anderson Silva, gives Anderson some big problems. Quite frankly, if you go back and watch that fight, Luter gave him some big problems. Just got tired and gassed out, hadn't made weight the night before. George St. Pierre runs into Matt Serra. Matt Serra not only beats him, he becomes a world champion. Still to this day, it's the biggest upset in UFC history and landed Serra a spot in the Hall of Fame. But I think that those guys proved by the grit and the toughness and the process that they came through and showing we want to do it. And we do not need our managers here. We do not need our trainers and coaches in a full camp. We can do it on 2 and 3 day notice. I can do 2 and 3 of these things in the course of a month on no notice. I think when you have somebody that rises up like that, it's not all that big of a surprise that Matt Serra went on and captured the world championship. I would suggest for you, many guys who have come through that process could go right in and grab world championships. Many guys have went on, whether it be Forrest Griffin or Rashad Evans comes to mind, Robert Whittaker who comes to mind. Many guys have gone on and won world championships. I think they could do it right away. But I also think you have a lot to learn and appreciate from what that process is, because it starts with, do you want to fight? It moves to, will you do it for free? Now, of course, everybody gets something. Nobody's asking somebody to work for it. I'm talking about a mentality here. I'm literally talking about a mentality. I can remember myself, time in my life, I had fought 17 men in 3 different weight classes all over the world. My biggest paycheck was $1,500. I'm not complaining about the money. I don't give a damn about the money. I'm just sharing with you guys. That's where I was at in my life. I was training on a daily basis with city world champions who would not make a phone call on my behalf to get me into the organization because they know when I get there, they won't be the world champion. But this was a time in my life, and I remember my mother on a secret mission trying to get Joe Silva's phone number, and she was going to offer him $10,000 to put me in, and she was willing to go as high as $50,000. I'm just sharing a story with you. Before anybody thinks my mother was underhanded for bribing and she's the Felicity Huffman of MMA, God bless her if she was, the bottom line is this. Some guys just want to fight. Those are the guys you want to work with. Robert Whittaker is one of those guys. There must be a fear and a respect that comes with that. And you guys can remember us from the playground. Who was a guy you never wanted to mess with in school? Didn't even mean it had to be a guy who you didn't know for sure, I can whip him. It was the guy that if push came to, he would fight. Win or lose, something happens, he's throwing a punch in there. That's the guy. Okay, just, Leave him. Just leave him alone. Let you and I talk, but leave this guy over here. I had a guy like that at Team Quest I grew up with. He wasn't the best. Ed Herman. He wasn't the baddest dude in Team Quest. He might not have even been number 10 or 11 or 12. You say something, Ed's going to punch you in the mouth. Nobody messed with Ed Herman. Chris Lieben actually nicknamed him Short Fuse for that very reason. Ed had a temper problem at one point. Let's hear it for our friends at Geico for supporting this podcast and helping you save some cash without even leaving the house. All you have to do is go to geico.com, and in 15 minutes, you could be saving 15% or more on car insurance. Extra money in your pocket? It might just be the most rewarding thing you do today. All right, guys, I'm looking at the clock. It is time to get out of here, which is good because I've had it with you all anyway. But I'll be back on Friday. Until then, I'm Chael Sonnen. Thanks for listening, everybody. You're welcome.
Thanks for listening to You're Welcome with Chael Sonnen. Download new episodes every week at podcastone.com. That's podcastone.com.
Don't miss the Jordan Harbinger Show on Podcast One.
You know, like if you're nervous or scared about a situation, instead of being like, nah, there's nothing to be scared about, nothing to be scared about. Oh, shit, there is.
This week, Jordan joins former Laker great and Oscar winner Kobe Bryant for an unforgettable conversation that you don't want to miss.
You own it, give it a hug, you embrace it, and now what are you going to do about it?
Check out the Jordan Harbinger Show every week on Apple Podcasts and Podcast One.
Rack your look for spring at Nordstrom Rack and save up to 60% on brands you love. Rag & Bone, Vince, Marc Jacobs, Adidas, Joe's, and more. Great brands, great prices every day at Nordstrom Rack. Score new dresses, denim, sandals, designer bags, and sunglasses, plus updates for the family and home. Get your spring on for less, up to 60% less, today at your Nordstrom Rack store. What will you find?
This is a big year. The Ohio Lottery's golden anniversary. 50 years of excitement, of growing jackpots and crossed fingers. 50 years of funding for schools, of changed lives and brightened days. 50 years of fun. And that is worth celebrating. So watch for can't-miss promotions, huge events, and new games that will make the Ohio Lottery's 50th year its biggest one yet. Learn more at funturns50.com.